Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Tuesday, and I'm here with Sonny Hostin. This is Behind the Table. All right, I am here with Sonny Hostin. It is Tuesday. We're a little riled up today, but that's okay.
I've been riled up today.
You've been riled up today.
I know. It happens to me sometimes, as you know, because I'm actually not really a morning person. And so I have to kind of, I don't drink coffee. Mm-hmm. So I have to get amped to come in.
Yes.
But I usually just like listen to reggae music and mm-hmm. stuff in the morning, Bob Marley. So I'm in a zen place. And then if something comes up in the Hot Topics meeting that riles me up,
mm-hmm.
I stay amped like that.
It rarely lasts till after the show, and today it seems to have lasted till after the show, but that's okay.
And it was lasting through the show for me, too.
Okay.
So I tried not to say that many things during the show today because I didn't want to sound as edgy as I felt.
Okay. Well, it didn't come off as edgy during the show, but for those eagle-eyed viewers at home, we'll now know if there was edge. It was earned.
Yes.
But we'll shake it off here for the podcast. So let's start with something we didn't get to talk about today, but we did talk about yesterday.
Okay.
I think we'll be talking about in the future. Where in the world is Kate Middleton?
I know.
It's a major conversation in the past few weeks.
I know.
The edited Mother's Day photo is going viral.
I know.
Now, someone put this question up here, and I think this is a smart way to ask it. What do you think the reaction would have been if Meghan Markle had admitted to editing a photo?
Oh, there'd be moral outrage.
I think so, too.
There would be such outrage. No one would be saying, she's a mom, and people make mistakes. And mm-hmm. It would be like, what is going on, and how dare she? And it would be different.
I think it would be different.
We all know that. And the British tabloids would be having a field day. We know that to be true now. Meghan and Harry said those things about the tabloids and how, you know, they compared the two and how the firm leaked information about Meghan. But now we actually have documentation because we have photos, you know, side by side where Meghan was pregnant and kind of touching her belly. And then you've got Kate touching her belly. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, look at the wonderful expectant mother to be. She looks so lovely. And then Meghan's title was something like, you know, showing off her belly mm-hmm. all the time. I mean, obvious slant, and there's a double standard. But I don't know why I am now so intrigued.
It's interesting because we've brought this up for a while and you all kind of just
drank
the Kool-Aid at the same time and now you're all into it.
I mean, Anna Navarro sent a text
mm-hmm.
and now she's kind of—
Right, and she's the last one who goes down these rabbit holes.
She never goes down rabbit holes. And by the way, she sent some convincing things. She sent some convincing things and so now I'm— And then now why did the palace come up with another picture of her all of a sudden?
So I want to preface all this by saying that there is a chance that it's a health issue. And if it is, of course, I feel horrible for all the conjecture.
Horrible
for all the stuff. But the lack of transparency is giving birth to more and more conversations.
And that's why you have to be as transparent as possible if you're a public figure, unfortunately.
Yes.
And the point that I made on the show, and I know not everyone agreed with it, is that, you know, the royal family, the public in Britain pays for their lifestyle.
Right.
I mean, they're taxed. So the royalty are public people who sort of belong to the people. You know, they're servants to the people, just like a public servant would be. And if you're a public figure and people are paying for you to exist, I think you owe them transparency.
It feels to me like there's a dam about to break in this story.
Something.
It feels like there are cracks everywhere and some kind of hidden truth is about to come out.
And now I'm hearing that Harry was the one that was right about the family all along. I'm hearing, I went down the rabbit hole last night after Anna Navarro's text.
Yeah, Twitter is just fascinating right now.
Yeah, and see, I'm not on social media that much anymore. But now, because of Anna Navarro, I am reading in on that.
Anna Navarro, the one who's never given up social media.
No.
This is
she embraces social media.
Yes, but I like that we're all kind of on, with one or two exceptions, all on board for this journey. So we'll continue to track it and figure out what's going on. And again, I hope it's nothing serious.
I hope it's
all everyone's imagination.
But it's semi-serious because she had abdominal surgery.
She did. They said she did.
So that's semi-serious.
I feel like everything's questionable now. I don't know.
Something is serious.
Yeah, 14 days for surgery felt like a long time to be in the hospital.
Something is serious.
Yeah, so we'll find out more about it. But you're right, and there was another photo yesterday that she's looking out the...
She's looking one way out the window, and she's not looking at Prince William. And Prince William is looking down at papers.
Yes, which, you know, that happens in a marriage, but I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
she didn't look happy.
No. Let's speaking of marriages, I want to get your take on something that I got from Sarah yesterday.
Yes.
The idea of tracking your spouse's phone. Now, on an episode of What Would You Do, a woman found out her boyfriend was cheating by tracking his location, and he called her out for tracking the phone. Hmm. How do you feel about sharing your location with a partner?
Okay. First of all, there's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, would you like to know where Manny is right now?
Sure.
Let me turn my app on. Okay. Can I mention the name of the app?
You can, yes.
Life 360.
I'm on it as well.
Okay. Manny right now is at home.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure why he's at home. Paloma is at school. My mother is at home. I am here. And Gabriel is exactly in the same location as my father because he is on spring break visiting his grandfather.
That's awesome.
See, I know where everyone is and they know where I am. So it's a circle of trust.
Yes.
And actually, my husband is the stalker on Life 360. I don't look at it very often. He said to me, I think yesterday, my friend Regina, as you know, she's my best friend.
I do.
She was here yesterday and we went to the Mermaid Inn, which is one of my favorite haunts.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a local joint in Chelsea. And he said, oh, my goodness, you're at my favorite place, our favorite place. Can you bring me home something to eat?
Oh, he was looking.
I said, you're stalking me. Why are you stalking me? So I have no problem. And the other thing, that I will mention is Gabriel thought that when he went to college, he would get out of the Life 360 circle. And I said, are you getting a new phone? And he was like, no. And I said, well, my phone comes with Life 360. The phone that I pay for comes with Life 360. And he said, okay. And then that's it.
Sure. So privacy isn't worth $200 a month.
Nope. Everybody is in on it. And so if someone tracks you, you shouldn't be doing anything wrong.
When my oldest daughter got a phone, she got Life 360 as well.
Absolutely.
And I know, you know, she's right now at middle school and I can see where she is.
Safety.
That's a good thing. My wife can see where I am. She has no interest in where I am. She never checks. Doesn't really seem to care.
My husband stalks everyone. It's very interesting that he is the one that uses it the most in the family.
I like it for planning purposes. I like to know like how far people are from home.
That's what he
time
says.
They're coming home.
That's what he says.
Why she been shopping for this long. I like to know that kind of thing.
He leans stalker-esque about the family.
What about credit card alerts? Does he get any of those?
No.
He doesn't. Or bank withdrawals, anything like that?
No.
Because you have your own stuff.
We have separate accounts, and then we have a joint account. So he can get as many joint alerts as possible, but he doesn't need to be in my shopping business at all. In fact, another story, we're doing Teresa Caputo. Can I mention that?
Yeah, she's going to be here Friday.
I'm very into Teresa Caputo, and I'm just very into—
The Long Island Medium.
The Long Island— I'm just very into that kind of thing. So I said to Manny— that she was coming, and he said that can she perform an exorcism? And I said, what kind of exorcism? The shopping spirit that has somehow taken over my wife.
Yeah.
And I said, so we're not having a séance. She's doing a reading. Well, maybe she can find the shopping spirit. He wants her exercise. And then he said he was going to make a list for you, Brian, for the segment of all the spirits, apparently, that have taken over me that he would like exercise.
I've met a few of them. Am I speaking to one now?
He would enjoy that.
Yeah. All right. I respect that. I mean, here's the thing. You are so excited about Teresa Caputo coming on.
You're
coming in early, despite not being a morning person, to do a reading.
I'm coming in very early. Yes. And by the way, I'm going to be in D.C. Thursday night.
And you're coming in just for this, voluntarily.
Yes.
Yes, which is
I'm into
rare.
It.
Yes. did not require a conversation with
nope.
us.
Nope. Nope.
So I'm excited. It's gonna be fun.
I can't wait.
I met her years ago. I produced her on a different show, and she made some readings about me that were very accurate.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, so very exciting.
Although the shopping spirit will remain with me.
Yes. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe she's got some something she can do. It's all very mysterious to me. We'll be back in a moment.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit. Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We also today on the show talked about singer Lily Allen saying mm-hmm. that you can't have it all with children and careers.
Yeah.
And this leads to a good listener question we had this week about motherhood and guilt. Okay. It said, a lot of working moms feel guilty. When you had younger kids, were you one of those moms? And what are your thoughts on that in general?
Well, it's not just when they're younger.
Right. It stays with you.
It stays with you. Yes, of course. You know, I feel like parenting is probably the most important job you'll ever have in your life. And you are really forming a human being, right? And so if you do that wrong, you may unleash someone into our society that is not doing the right thing. And justice is a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that you can't live a perfect day unless you do something for someone who can't repay you. Like, I think that's very important. And so there have been times when I've never missed a sporting event. I've never missed a parent-teacher conference. I'm very present. I've given up job opportunities, as you know, to be around my kids. But that guilt of, man, maybe I could have done that better. Or you see something and you go, ah, I wish I would have done it this way. That never leaves you. And I have a 21-year-old and a 17-year-old. And I sometimes still think, oh. You know, maybe I did too little here, or maybe I did too much here. I think that guilt is a good thing because it means that parenting is important.
Yeah, and I don't think it's only specific to moms, to be honest with you. I think dads feel it too. And even though, I do a pretty good job.
Manny and I talk about it all the time. He's just like, oh, man, what do you think? How do we do? You know,
yeah.
I mean, we talk about it often. So guys do, I think men parent and care about you know, making sure that they're fully formed human beings are good
right.
people.
Even going to bed early, I feel
yes.
guilty about because I've got to get up in the morning, but they're having fun watching a movie and I'd like to be there
yeah.
with them. But it's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. All right. Well, no, I think that's just a reality for everybody.
Yep.
We have another listener call for you and we're going to play it right now.
Okay.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Sonny. My name is Moises. I am thinking about changing my first name, Moises, to Henry, which is the nickname for my middle name, thinking about changing it legally. It's easier for people to pronounce. It also feels a little bit like me because people already call me Henry. I know you've mentioned your name is Asuncion. And so I'm wondering what your thoughts are. Thank you.
Oh, see, I think Moises is a beautiful name. And I actually think I know or knew someone in college from the Dominican Republic named Moises.
There's a famous baseball player from the Dominican Republic named Moises Alou.
See, it's a name of heritage. I think it's a unique name. I think it's different, and I don't think you should change it, Moises. You know, I regret to this day sort of going by Sonny professionally, because now that 3 million people watch me every day, I get stopped in the street and they're like, "Hi, Sonny." Sonny is not my real name. It's actually kind of like a manufactured name for people that couldn't pronounce Asuncion. And Asuncion is my government name, as they say. My family calls me Asuncion. Manny calls me Asuncion in, like, at home. So do my children. When they refer to me like, "Oh, well, my mother is Asuncion," they don't say Sonny.
Right.
And it was a family name. It was my grandmother's sister's name. And it's part of my, not only ancestry, it's part of my ethnicity. And so I regret to this day that people call me Sonny instead of knowing, you know, I just wish more people knew it's Asuncion. And actually, my nickname in Spanish is Suncha. And so my grandmother used to call me Chacha. So there is a nickname for it,
right?
And it's Chacha, and it's Suncha, and it is not Sonny. So, you know, I did it. Nancy Grace, there's a long story, but Nancy Grace thought that it was better for me to go by Sonny
because she couldn't pronounce it.
Mm-hmm. And what was interesting about it is when I did change my name to Sonny professionally, my career kind of skyrocketed.
So it did pay off for you professionally.
It did, but I regret it. I still regret it. Mm-hmm. Like, do I think I would be as, I don't know, successful in television? Probably not.
Right.
But I used my real name in court.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't use a fake name as a federal prosecutor. I don't know. I just, Moises, keep your name. It's part of your heritage. It's the name that you're mom gave you.
Yeah. It's an interesting road not traveled for you if you hadn't embraced Sonny professionally.
Yeah.
Whether it'd be any different. I imagine it wouldn't be. I think you...
No, I don't know, Brian. I remember being in class and I always knew when the teacher got to me, like the beginning of the school year, because they would Miss Cummings. That's what they would say. Or some of them said Mr. Cummings or just Cummings. And then I would have to pronounce my name, and eventually the teachers would get it. It happened all the way through law school. So I realize now that people would kind of come up to me and say, "Hey," but they couldn't pronounce my name or didn't want to butcher it or didn't remember it.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes even avoided me.
Right. So you don't know whether to resent or thank Nancy Grace, but either way.
I thank her because my career did change.
Wow.
Yeah. But in this country, this is one of the only countries that's monolingual.
Right.
Proudly monolingual.
Mm-hmm.
Asuncion is not really a difficult name to pronounce.
Coming less so as time goes on, but
yeah. It's just not difficult to pronounce at all.
Well, all right. Well, Moises, you asked. We got an answer.
You got your answer. Don't change it.
All right. Unless you go into broadcasting and then we can discuss. But
yeah, but no,
even
don't
then,
change it. No.
Even then. It's a good name. I like Moises.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. We have a listener text for you.
Oh.
Sonny. What happens if Donald Trump wins the election in November, but is convicted between the election and the inauguration? Hmm. Nobody has addressed this so far.
You know, it's a great question, and I don't have a great answer because it would be unprecedented.
Right.
It would be unprecedented. If I were the government, I would immediately put him in prison. Pending appeal, because you can do that, right? The judge gets to decide. So there's a little bit of time after a conviction for a sentencing recommendation. The defense makes their arguments, the government makes their arguments, and then actually the system, sort of like, you know, probation, makes their Department of Corrections, everyone sort of weighs in on what the sentence should be, but the judge makes the final decision. And you can remain out on bail if you are a if you're not a flight risk or a danger to yourself. I would think and argue that Donald Trump is certainly a flight risk.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe less so if he's the president-elect. But
maybe, but I would remand him to jail.
Right.
Now, the question has never been answered. Can we have a president who is a president from jail. And the reason that we have never confronted it is because we've never had a president or a candidate like Donald Trump.
Right. The closest thing would have been, I guess, Nixon, if he hadn't been pardoned.
Yes.
Potentially could have ended up in jail.
But not during his presidency.
Right.
Right. So that's what's very interesting, because at least he resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, you know, not only did he not resign, he was impeached twice.
And then
ran for re-election.
A conviction after election would be viewed by many as political.
Yeah.
And then God knows what happens.
Yeah.
It's a terrifying prospect.
It's a terrifying prospect. And I don't know that anyone has the answer under the law, because it's never happened. How about that? How about that for scary?
Yeah. Well, stay tuned, folks. On that note, on that chilling note, thank you for joining me, Sunny Hostin.
Thanks, Brian.
I hope you can sleep off the edge. Tomorrow, I'll be back with Joy. Speaking of edge. In the meantime, if you have a question or want advice from a co-host, check the episode description to the number that is our Behind the Table hotline. It's right here. And thank you so much for listening.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.